And we're going to... Amen. Genesis 24. And we're going to start with verse number 1. Praise the Lord. Amen. Genesis 24 and 1. And Abraham was old and well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. And Abraham said to his eldest servant of his house that ruled over all that he had, put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh, and I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of the earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell, but thou shalt go unto my country and unto my kindred and take a wife unto my son Isaac. And the servant said unto him, peradventure this woman will not be willing to follow me unto this land. Must I needs bring thy son again unto the land from whence thou camest? And Abraham said unto him, beware that thou bring not my son thither again. And the Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house and from the land of my kindred, and which spake unto me and that sware unto me, saying, unto thy seed will I give this land, he shall send his angel before thee, and thou shalt take a wife unto my son from thence. And if the woman will not be willing to follow thee, then thou shalt be clear from this my oath. Only bring not my son thither again. And the servant put his hand under the thigh of Abraham his master and sware to him concerning that matter. Now, before I have you seated, I want to make a few points, and we are going to read one more verse from this chapter. And I'd like you to leave the chapter open, because we are going to refer to it from time to time in the message. But he said, I don't want you to take a wife unto my son from the daughters of the Canaanites. These are people that they don't believe like us. They are not like us. And let me tell our young people, we don't need to be marrying folks out of the world. We need to be marrying folks that are sold out to God. And you need to be sold out to God. And they need to be apostolic from the top of their head to the sole of their feet. Amen. Praise God. Love God and not just play in church. Amen. But they really live it. And he said, so you're not going to take from there, but you're going to go into my country and my kindred and take a wife unto my son. And the servant said, well, what if she won't come? And should I bring your son there? And he said, by no means do I want you taking my son back to where I came from. Amen. And it's like what we've been talking about today. We're not going back. Amen. To the things of this world. And Paul wrote to the churches of Galatia. And how is it that you started well, but you've so quickly returning to the beggarly elements out of which you came? And he said, no, beware that you don't bring him, but you're going to go and God will send his angel before you. And he was speaking, I believe, in faith. Abraham was a man of faith, and he said, and you shall take a wife unto my son from thence. Praise the Lord. I want to go down to verse number 58, and this is after a long story, and we will relay some of the story, where it says in verse 58, and they called Rebekah, and said unto her, will thou go with this man? Will you go with this man? And she said, I will go. Amen. She said, I will go. Let's pray and let's ask the Lord to help us here. Can we, before we're seated? Precious Savior, Lord Jesus, hallelujah. I'm praying, dear God, Lord, for your anointing, dear God, upon me to preach your word and upon every heart that's here, God, to receive, Lord, as good ground, the seed of the word of the Lord. Help us, Jesus, in this place, God, to receive something. Mighty God, that you might, Lord Jesus, impart something to us. God, that you might impress something upon us, God. Lord Jesus, that we will leave, dear God, different than what we came, Lord Jesus. Oh, mighty God, at least a step closer, Lord. Hallelujah. Because of our time here, Lord Jesus, with the word of the Lord. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Praise the Lord. You may be seated in the house of the Lord. Amen. I would like for you to help me to preach. We do seem, it seems to me, and visitors may not realize this, but we do seem a little subdued today. We seem a little quiet today. Bothers me. Amen. Praise God. And I want to worship Him, and I'm not pointing fingers, and I didn't jump and run and roll. Praise God during service. I don't know if I could have. Amen. And but I do want to give him my best. Praise the Lord. And with the Lord's help, I am going to preach the word of the Lord. But this man, Abraham, called his eldest servant. This was the steward of his house. He had all that he had rule over all that Abraham had, all of his possessions. He ruled this house. He was the steward of the house. He called him. He said, I want you to come, and I want you to swear an oath to me that you're going to go into the land from which I came unto my kindred, and I want you to take a wife for my son Isaac. Now, I don't know about you, but I think that my daughter, my son, would probably object very, very strongly to an arranged marriage like that. And I recall from when I was a kid and then later on seeing a play of Fiddler on the Roof, they had the little story about the girls and the matchmaker. And the matchmaker would, you know, they sang the song, Matchmaker, Matchmaker, make me a match, find me a fine, catch me and catch. And for Mama, Papa, make him a scholar. And for Mama, make him rich as a king. And for me, well, I wouldn't holler if he were as handsome as anything. And so we all have our perspective as to what we would want to see. And so they go on in the little song, and it's kind of funny. And Seidel, have I got a match for you? He's handsome. He's young. All right, he's 62. But he's a good man, you know. And then there's the other one. I can't remember the girl's name. I found him. You a lucky bride. He's handsome. He's tall. That is from side to side. But he's a good man and all of that stuff. I hear he has a temper. He'll beat you every night, but only when he's sober. So it's all right. And so we probably wouldn't really want arranged marriages. You probably wouldn't want something like that. Would you? You know, I mean, nobody would think, but that's still done in places. But Abraham was forward thinking in this, that he did not want his son just to marry anyone. He knew that God had called him to come out from his country and out from his kindred. And there were the influences of the pagans in his place, but there were also pagans here where God called him to, and you not to take a wife out from among these, but I want you to go back, and so that there is not an unequal yoking together. And so he ended up going, and he said, what if she won't come? And he said, well, God's going to go before you. He's going to send his angel, and you will take a wife unto my son from thence. And so he swore the oath, and then he went, and he arrived there. And then later we read this passage in verse 58, and they called Rebekah and said unto her, wilt thou go with this man, this servant that came here just yesterday, that you've never seen before? Will you go? And she, being a young girl, said, I will go. It's really an amazing story. In the intervening verses between verse 9 of our text and the response of Rebecca that we just read in verse 58 is a story that is told by the servant of Abraham within the larger context of the story told in this chapter. And the servant story really is amazing in every respect. He was the steward of Abraham's household. And the scripture tells us in these ensuing verses that he had traveled with 10 camels laden with his master's choicest goods. And in the hand of this man was really all that Abraham had. That doesn't mean he carried everything with him, because we know that Abraham had great possessions, but it's that he was ruler over all of it, and he allowed him to take it. In that day, in that time, it was customary not for a dowry to be given from the bride's family to the groom, but actually vice versa. And we could see several biblical stories along that line. And so he took 10 camels and no doubt laded them down with all kinds of riches and goods, and took them in this far journey and went to the country where Abraham had departed many years before. And here he arrived early in the evening, the Bible says, weary from his journey. He was at the outskirts of the city of Haran and near a well that he knew would soon be busy with young ladies of the city coming to draw water, as was the custom. And it appears from the scripture they had already begun to arrive. And so he makes his camels to kneel. And this man began to pray a very specific prayer. And we can find that in verses 12 through 14. He said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day, and show kindness unto my master Abraham. Behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city come to draw water. And let it come to pass, he's praying, that the damsel to whom I shall say, let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink. And she shall say, drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. Let the same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac. And thereby shall I know that thou hast showed kindness unto my master. Amen. And so that was the ending of his prayer. He had gotten there and he had prayed this prayer. And somewhere between that prayer and verse 58, there was a story that was told. Somewhere between the act of faith that this man had after he had sworn unto Abraham and he had traveled the distance and had his 10 camels and they were kneeling there at the well, and he was weary, but he knew that, all right, I've arrived and it's time. And so he prayed a prayer. And sometime between that prayer and Rebecca's saying, when she was asked, will you go with this man? You don't know this man. You don't really know a whole lot about this man, but will you go with him? Somewhere in between that time, she did not fall in love with Isaac. She never had met him, but she fell in love with a story. Amen. And I'd like to preach today, if I can, on this subject. I fell in love with more than a story. Amen. I fell in love with more than a story. And so even as his prayer was ending, the Bible tells us, Rebecca appears in the distance and comes toward the well. She was a beautiful young girl, and the Bible says she was very fair to look upon. And she was a relation to Abraham, although no one knew it at that time except the Lord himself. And the servant saw her and took note of her. And she was not the only one that was there, we can tell from the context, but she went to get water, and when she had done so, the Bible says that this servant, this steward, ran to meet her and asked of her some water. Must have been a strange scene, because you see, he went and he picked her out. There was other young ladies that were coming, but there was something about her. He was really being led of the Holy Ghost, I believe. He was being led of God. He said, or at least an angel was going before, and maybe steering his head into certain. I don't know how it all worked, but I believe that God answered his prayer, and God answered Abraham's desire. Praise God for this to take place. And so all of these other women are around, and he waits for her, and then he runs excitedly to her and asks her to drink. And she's probably thinking, well, I mean, the guy's running. You know, I mean, you don't just run up to somebody. She probably thought he was a weirdo. I mean, you would. And so she asked for, he asked for something to drink. And then in answer to his prayer, she gave this stranger water. And then offered to draw water for his camels as well. And then she drew the water and the camels drank. And he knew that his prayer had been answered. And she had no idea. And so there at the well, he begins to give her gifts. And then he asks of her home, tell me about your home. Tell me about your father. Tell me all of these things. And then he knew that these were Abraham's relations of all of the people of the city of Haran. It was a city long before Abraham had ever come to it, many years before, and then he had departed from it. But there in the city was some of his relatives that were right there, and he and so he came and began to ask of her about the relatives, and so she said, all right, how about we go to my father's house? And they went there and they began to set out a meal, but this servant, he said, you know, the meal can wait. I've got a story to tell. Amen. The meal can wait. I've got something that I've got to say. And here he relays the story of his master Abraham and his son. And I don't really know all about that. But they knew that if they consented, they would likely never see her again. Oh, the thoughts that must have been going through their minds, every one of their minds, that night as they tried in vain to sleep. And the Bible tells us what happened in the morning. The Bible says, picks up in verse 54, and they did eat and drink, and he and the men that were with him, and tarried all night, and they rose up in the morning, and he said, send me away unto my master. And the implication was clear. Send me with your daughter. Send her with me away. And he was wanting to leave right then. And her brother, Laban, and her mother said, let the damsel abide with us a few days, at least 10, and after that she shall go. And he said unto them, hinder me not, delay me not, seeing the Lord hath prospered my way, send me away that I may go to my master. And they just couldn't believe that he was asking this. They're like, you know, at least 10 days. We can't believe that you're asking this. This doesn't make sense to us. And so he says, no, hinder me not. And they figured, well, we'll fix him. We'll call the damsel. And we will inquire at her mouth. Then they called Rebekah and said unto her, wilt thou go with this man? And she said, I will go. And they sent away Rebekah, their sister, and her nurse, and Abraham's servant, and his men. And they blessed Rebekah and said unto her, thou art our sister. Be thou the mother of thousands of millions. Let thy seed possess the gate of those which hate them. And Rebekah arose and her damsels, and they rode upon the camels and followed the man. And the servant took Rebekah and went his way. She never saw the man that she was to marry, but she fell in love with the story of a servant. Praise God. Can I tell you today that I've never seen the Lord? I've never looked upon His face. I never have once had a chance to behold the ragged nail scars in His hands and in His feet and the wound in His side. I've never had a chance to behold His face. I've never seen the home that He has prepared for me. Amen. I never have. Amen. Yet one day He sent one of His servants my way. Amen. Hallelujah. It was a man that He had put all that He had into this man's hands. Amen. The greatest treasures that He owned, He put into this man's hands. And I met that man, that servant, one day, and he told me a story. Amen. And it was an amazing story. Amen. It was a story of unconquerable love and amazing grace. It was a story, amen, of a Savior that came and shed His blood, amen, upon a rugged tree. Hallelujah. So that I might have my sins washed away. It was a story, amen, of a Savior that went away into the sky. But He said, I'll not leave you comfortless. I'll come again unto you. Amen. And He poured out His Spirit upon all flesh. And one day, Acts chapter number 2, we see it there. Amen. The Holy Ghost was poured out. And they came staggering out of where they were. Amen. They were talking in tongues as the Spirit gave utterance. It must have been quite a sight. People looked at them and thought, you know, these folks are drunk. Look at the way that they're acting. Amen. Look how they're going on. And but Peter said, you know, this is that. They're not drunk like you think they are. This is that spoken by the prophet Joel, saying in the last days, God would pour out His Spirit upon all flesh. Amen. And that preacher told me a story. Hallelujah. How a Savior came from glory. How He gave His life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. Amen. I'm here to tell you, hallelujah, that I fell in love with the story. I haven't seen Jesus. Amen. I've not looked on His face. But the story that was told. Amen. The story that was given to me. Amen. Hallelujah. It was confirmed to me. I knew that it was from God. Amen. I felt His presence as I knelt at an old-fashioned Pentecostal altar. Amen. I felt Him sweep over me. Hallelujah. As I began to repent of my every sin, just like the preacher said. Hallelujah. 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 I know what it's like. Amen. To lift up my hands. Amen. And be filled with the marvelous baptism of the Holy Ghost. Amen. It really is the Holy Ghost and fire. It really is, hallelujah, joy unspeakable and full of glory. It really is, hallelujah. I'm here to tell you, I really am, amen, that this is a story. It's a story. Hallelujah. Amen. But it's more than a story. Hallelujah. It's more than a story. Amen. I fell in love with more than a story. You see, because I have received Him. I've received His Spirit. I've received the baptism that He spoke of. Hallelujah. He promised it. Amen. He said, you'll have it. He said, I'll not leave you comfortless, but I will come unto you. Hallelujah. I'm here to tell us, amen, in the Holy Ghost today. Praise God that what we need, amen, we really do need to fall in love with Him. Hallelujah. There needs to be a falling in love. This is not just words on a page. This is not just dogma and doctrine, but His Word is alive. Amen. His Word is rich. His Word, amen, hallelujah, is the lamp to our feet and light to our path. And God, give us a love for this story. Give us a love for this truth. Give us a love, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. I'm here to tell us I fell in love with more than a story. I fell in love with a Savior. I fell in love with Jesus. He said, you need to love Him. God said, it was a commandment. Love the Lord, your God, with all of your heart, all of your soul, all of your mind, all of your strength. Hallelujah. It can't just be that we're following it because the Word says, and we know the Word is true, and we just go, no, 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 no. If you don't fall in love, there will be something that will pull you out. If you don't fall in love, there will be some reason to turn back and go back. Amen. To the beggarly elements of the world, to sin. But it was over 30 years ago. Hallelujah. That when I lifted my hands, I fell in love with Him. I didn't just fall in love with the story, and I thank God for it. But He is more than a Sunday school story. He's more than five loaves and two fish and the feeding of 5,000. He's more than the raising of Lazarus. He's more than those things. He's my Lord and my God. And one day, as Thomas bowed his knees before Him, I bowed my knees before my Savior. And I realized all that He had done for me. And I fell in love with more than a story. I fell in love with my Savior. Hallelujah. I'm here to tell you, you've got to get it in your heart. You've got to get it to where it's not just up in the head, but it's down. Deep on the inside. Amen. We've got to love Him. Amen. I remember, and I'd like musicians to come. I'm really done. I really am. But I want to. I can't get inside other people's hearts. I can't get inside other people's minds. I can't know exactly how you think. You could pull a lot over on a preacher. But for the discerning of spirits. But God does know your heart. It's somewhere deep down. You've got to get a love. The Bible speaks of those that would depart. If you would stand with me in the house of the Lord. Because they received not. The love for the truth. I remember as a new convert, that song had come out just not all that long before. I keep falling in love with Him over and over, over and over again. He gets sweeter and sweeter as the days go by. Oh, what a love between my Lord and I keep falling in love with Him. I sang that song. I couldn't sing for anything, but I asked my pastor, could I sing a special? And I got up there and I croaked, and it was horrible. It really was. But I sang it with tears streaming down my face. Because I fell in love with more than a story. I fell in love with my Savior. Can
Can I tell you that if you fall in love with him, it won't be a struggle to be at church. It will be a joy. It won't be a struggle to come every time the doors are open. It won't be a struggle to be at prayer meeting. It won't be a struggle to read your Bible. It won't be a struggle to live for God. It won't be a struggle to witness. It won't be hard. Amen. Because you fell in love with more than a story. Hallelujah. I don't really even know how to close this, but if I could just somehow, and if I was able to just somehow give you a love, the kind of love that he put within my heart. I love to worship him. I love to praise him. I love to sing. I love his word. I love the preaching. I love the truth. Hallelujah. Amen. If I could somehow put that in your heart. Maybe just somehow, and this has been my prayer today, it really has, since God put this message upon my heart to preach it here. If somehow just this message could cause you to realize that you really do need to love him with all your heart, soul, and mind, and strength, and you will just reach out and fall in love with him. Amen. I don't understand how it all works, but I do know this, that if you take one step, he'll take two. If you draw nigh unto him, he'll draw nigh unto you. I'd like for us, if we could just come. Just come around. Would you just love him? Would you just love your God? Would you just worship him with a pure heart? Would you? I fell in love with all.